Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. This week we continue our wonderful study about He who is called Wonderful in Isaiah 9:6, and I'm speaking of the Messiah of Scripture. And we have been looking at the first subject of Messianic prophecy in its proper order, the prophecies dealing with the affirmation and revelations that the Messiah would be pre-existent before He would come to this earth born as a man. He would be pre-existent from the beginning of time. And in His pre-existence, He would dwell face-to-face with God as part of the Godhead, a distinct and separate person in that Godhead known as God the Son. And so when we talk about the Messiah, we are talking about more than just a human being, but God, a very God, who existed with God in eternity past. And last time we left you, we talked about the Lord's affirmations of His character and their manifestations in reality, the affirmations of His character, who He is, declared and prefaced by I Am. In John's Gospel, we have a series of I Am declarations by the pre-existent Messiah. And so this is where we left off last time, and I want to look more closely at these I Am affirmations. First, it will do us well to remember that the Lord Himself in Isaiah 43:10 says that He alone is God, that He is the eternal self-existent God. And in the New Testament, we find Yeshua, Jesus, making the same claims to being the great I Am with God His Father, because they are one in unity, one in purpose, one in will, and one in divine constitutionality. Therefore, one cannot escape the conclusion that the Messiah is God and Jesus Himself claimed to be when He repeatedly affirms that He is the great I Am. The first I Am statement that we do find in John's Gospel is Jesus' explicit identification of Himself with being the Messiah. Remember what happened in John 4, as Jesus in His mercy and grace condescended to offer salvation to the Samaritan woman who led a life of immorality, of being married multiple times and living with men. And Jesus disclosed her very life to her, having not known her or met her before, and she was astonished at such supernatural knowledge that she posed this question or this statement to Him. She said, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he comes, He will tell us all things. And what was Jesus' reply to her? He said, I who am speaking to you am He. Verse 26 of John 4. So we see here that Jesus is explicitly claiming to be the Messiah. This rubs against the liberal assertion in our day amongst the universities and many of our churches and seminaries. This whole idea that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah, that His followers, particularly the Apostle Paul, came after Jesus and put these statements into His mouth in order to deify Him and make Him a dominant figure. But if we accept the Scriptures at their most basic level and we believe them at face value, then we can see here that Jesus' own admission that He is the Messiah clearly shows us that he knew who he was before anyone else of his disciples or followers came to that conclusion. In fact, it took them a while to come to that conclusion that Jesus was the Messiah, even though he said it beforehand. And so this Samaritan woman came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah because he told her all things that she had done. And when she brought the townspeople to Jesus, they, when they heard them, came to the same conclusion that he was indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So the Lord's ability to recall and know the intimate details of people's lives without ever meeting them argues that he was omniscient and all-knowing as God. These are evidences then of his pre-existence. No mere mortal can know people whom they have never met before and know them in intimate detail unless that person was around beforehand. So again, pre-existence is implied. The other great I am statements that Jesus makes is John 6:35. He says, "I am the bread of life." And with each I am declaration of Jesus, we have God revealing himself to be what man needs for his life and salvation. For instance, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," as God, he meets the deepest needs, desires of our soul, and he satisfies us with his saving presence. When the Lord Jesus said in John 8:12, when he said, "I am the light of the world," he meant to say that there is no darkness in him, and all who come to him, the darkness of their sins, their sorrows, their tragic life will be banished and removed. When he said in John 10:7, when Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep," he was saying that all who come to God must come through me to experience God, know who he is, and to enjoy fellowship with him. When the Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," in John 10:11, he is telling us that as God, he is perfectly good and will always provide and care for us according to what is good and beneficial for us. When the Lord Jesus, as God, claimed to be the resurrection and the life, he was saying, "I am the answer to your greatest problem, the problem of death, which we all must face every day, the possibility and the inevitable reality that death will come to us." But it's the Lord Jesus who redeems us from the power of death and gives us eternal life. So though we should die, we shall live on forever if we trust in Jesus as the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." When the Lord Jesus, as God, said in John 13:13, "I am your master and Lord," he was providing for us comfort. Comfort with the knowledge that he controls our destiny. He rules over it. And he will protect us, and nothing or no one can endanger his guiding rule in our lives. When the Lord Jesus, as God, said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he meets a threefold need of the human soul. Number one, we are lost. We are in darkness. We need to know the way back to God. Jesus provides that. Two, we are deceived, spiritually blind, and walking in error. And therefore, we need to know the truth about who God is and what our real situation in the world is. He is the life. in that He gives us life from spiritual death. When the Lord Jesus, as God, said, "I am the true vine," in John 15:1, He was telling us that He meets our needs for provision, spiritual nutriment, as well as physical nutriment. So He is the provider of all that we need to grow, develop, and live. When the Lord Jesus, as God, said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth," He was underscoring the fact that though He was God, yet He also is a flesh and blood man, so that He can reach out and unite with us and identify and empathize with us in the human condition. But probably the most clear and startling I am affirmation made by the Messiah is the one where He tells the Pharisees in John 8:58. He said, "I, before Abraham existed, or before Abraham was, I am." The crowd and the Pharisees, when they heard Him say this, immediately recognized that Jesus was claiming to be God. And once they heard this, they took up stones to throw at Him. But Jesus was able to go out of the temple through the midst of them, passing through them without harm. But think about the statement that He makes here in John 8:58 when He says, "Before Abraham existed, I was." So in other words, Jesus as a person existed before Abraham was born and lived. And yet, Abraham lived before the human Jesus some 2,250 years before. Jesus, they knew, the crowd who heard Him say this, they knew that He was born, and yet, well after Abraham, and yet here He's affirming existence before Abraham. There's only one conclusion to such a claim, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ was declaring Himself to be Yahweh God, the eternally self-existent God. And remember, the word "I am" here is the same divine name God said of Himself to Abraham from the burning bush. For we read in Exodus 3:13-14, when God called out to Abraham from the supernaturally burning bush that was burning yet not being consumed, He called out to Moses and told him to go and bring deliverance to the children of Israel in Egypt. And Moses said, "Well, if I go, who shall I tell them sent me? I need to know who your name is." And God said to Moses, "I am that I am. Say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Then you jump forward 1,450 years later, Jesus of Nazareth in John 8:58 is claiming the same divine title of eternal existence that God used for Himself when revealing Himself to Moses. Jesus says, I am also, I am. So here we have the Messiah Jesus declaring Himself to be Yahweh, the Lord and God of the Old Testament that revealed Himself by the same name to Moses. Quite an astounding statement. So let no one tell you, whether he is a secularist or in a cult, that Jesus is not God. Especially in light of the fact that Jesus claims to be God here in John 8:58 when He says, "I am." So, either Jesus was lying, or He was telling the truth. If people deny that He is God, or claim to be God, then they are contradicting Jesus' own affirmation of being God in John 8:58. And those who do that, those who deny the deity of Jesus in human flesh, are labeled in the Scripture to be of the spirit of Antichrist. John, who recorded Jesus' statement here in John 8, proclaiming himself to be God. Jesus proclaiming himself to be God. John the Apostle, who recorded this, tells us in his first epistle that we are to test the spirits whether they be of God. And what is the supreme standard by which we test the claims of those purporting to be prophets, claiming to be filled with the Spirit of God, or claiming to be a messenger or a teacher from God? What is the supreme standard or test? That is, do they believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as God? 1 John 4:2-3. Those who deny this, John tells us, they are of the spirit of Antichrist. So all the religions in the world that deny that Jesus is the eternal God, they are of the spirit of Antichrist, whether it be Islam, Hinduism, or cults like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism. All of these share one thing in common. They flat out deny that Jesus is the eternal God and that he existed as God in eternity past. And so, for this reason alone, they are of the spirit of Antichrist and are to be summarily rejected. When God told Moses, "I am that I am," he was saying that I have existed always. And under this eternally self-existent designation of I am, we have four things to consider by this name, as Herbert Lockyer, quoting another Bible scholar, we have four things affirmed here. Number one, I am is an existence different from all other existence, and there is none else. Only God has always existed and will never, and will all, and always will exist. He was, he is, he forever shall be. Two, the name, the divine I am, denotes an existence outside of time and history. God's existence is above and outside of time, before creation and all that was created came into being. God had always existed. This, thirdly, also tells us that God's existence as the great I am is the most real and actual. All others in comparison to the existence of I am are mere shadows. Fourth, the existence of God as I am carries an independent and unconditional quality of existence from which all others are derived and on which all others are dependent. So God alone is self-existent. He does not derive or depend his existence on anyone or anything else. All that is created, whether inanimate, animate, whether personable or impersonable, all of them share one thing in common. They derive their existence upon the self-existent God. Thus the I am that I am also is revealed in Exodus 3:15 to be Jehovah or the Lord. God goes on to tell Moses after he says, "I am that I am," he says, "You shall tell the children of Israel, Jehovah," or our English translations translate that as Lord, "the Lord God of your fathers has sent me to you." So the word Lord here modifies I am that I am. The word Lord here that modifies I am that I am is, in our English translation, Jehovah. Now, there is no J letter in Hebrew. It would be a Yod. So it would be Yehovah. Yehovah in Hebrew. And this gives us a greater amplification of the meaning of God by this divine title. The word, or the name Jehovah, I should say, is the most frequent name used of God throughout the rest of the Old Testament after its occurrence in association with I Am in Exodus chapter 3. And it's no surprise that in the New Testament we find Jesus using the same title of Lord for Himself. In the Greek, that would be Kurios. So, Jehovah, Yahweh, which translates into English as Lord, is used in connection with God being the eternally self-existent one, the I Am, that I am. And this same name occurs in reference where the Lord Jesus appears in Revelation 1:4, verse 8, Revelation 4:8, Revelation 11:17, and Revelation 16:5. In all these places, Jesus revealing Himself as divine Lord. It is said of Him in these places, He which is, and which was, and which is to come. Those phrases encompass and define for us the fact that Jesus is not only Lord, but that He is the great God who said, I am that I am. So when we discover God's use of Himself as I am that I am, and we see Jesus' same use of it in John 8, both suggest then essential and unconditional existence, absolute, self-determined, self-sustaining, and eternal. God is the eternally self-existent one, and He exists as He always, as His character, by His acts, always define Him to be. If God is faithful in the past, He will be in the present. And since He is both faithful in the past and the present, He will invariably be faithful in the future. Whatever God is, from eternity past, He will always be into eternity future. So the great I am, applies not only to God's existence, but to His character. If God is faithful, He was faithful always and will be forever. If God is a healer, He will always be as He was in the past and forever. You get the idea. The attributes of God as an unchanging permanent part of His character is confirmed by the fact that God is the great I Am. And when we think about God being the one who says, I am that I am, or with the words of Jesus when speaking to the Samaritan one, I am He, we must remember that these affirmations of God as the eternal self-existent one carries with it a limitless supply of faithfulness, promise, counsel, protection, provision, guidance, and the other possibilities are numerous. Whatever God is, or whatever God was, that which He is, that which He will always be in the future. If you need God to provide for your needs, He will do that, because He's always done that. Because He is the great I Am. The name Jehovah occurs almost 8,000 times in the Old Testament, 50 of which is the briefer form of Yah, or in English, Jah, J-A-H. And whenever we have Yah, it is frequently used as a component part of personal names in the form of Yeho or Jeho, as a prefix or as a suffix in the form of Jah. So in other words, let me give you several examples. Jehovah Jireh, that means our Lord, the provider. Or Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. Or Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So you get the picture here that God is all of these things, and He is to the supreme and optimum level. So all the prophecies, titles, and types of Yahweh or Jehovah they find perfect expression and physical amplification carried to perfection in Him who is the Messiah, Jesus. He will always be what He will be, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what dire emergency or critical need, God will always be who He is. He will always be faithful. He will always provide. He will always be righteous. He will always be good. And He will always be love. He will always be just. So that is a great comfort to us. We know that if God is unchanging in these qualities, it's because He is the eternally self-existent One. And as it is so true with God, so it is with Jesus of Nazareth, who also is God. So when John's gospel gives us these affirmations of our Lord Jesus, they do show, in one way or another, His pre-existence. So when Jesus says, "I am from Him," meaning God, "and He has sent me," obviously He's saying He existed before He became a man in order to be sent by God from heaven to earth. And once He finished His task on earth, Jesus told His audience in John 7:33 that He would go back to the One who sent Him. Jesus, during His ministry, was quite aware and familiar with the fact that He existed as God before He became a man. We know this from what He said in John 8:14 when He said, "I know where I came and where I go." Now, that just doesn't mean that He knew He was born in Bethlehem. No. What it means is that Jesus knew His divine origin in eternity past as God the Son dwelling with God the Father. This is confirmed by the fact, again, by Jesus' words in John 13:3, where we read, "Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, knew He came from God and went to God." In John 16:28, Jesus says, "I came forth from the Father." So all of these are evidences by Jesus that He was indeed the pre-existent Messiah who would come and redeem His people. This Messiah that we know and trust, the Messiah Jesus, is in fact very God of very God and very man of very man. Hence He is the God-man Messiah, the Anthropos, which means God-man. He who was born as a babe in Bethlehem before His human birth was in very fact existed as God from eternity past, just as Micah 5:1-2 tells us. To deny this and make the Messiah anything less than the eternal God is to believe in another Messiah and not the Jesus of Scripture. Well, I see we're out of time for this teaching session. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.